Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. Thank you for tuning in to the program, wherever you are, however you have tuned in to the program. We thank you for doing so. Thank you to the radio listeners, live radio listeners. You are all in your cars right now, many of you tuning into the program, podcast listeners, television show watchers on NRB TV, live stream watchers, AFA streaming service watchers. If you have not gotten your account for the streaming service, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? There's some things that are coming out that are available exclusively on the streaming service. One of them is Brother Don's documentary, Culture Warrior. It's available now on the streaming service for Great Commission partners. But thank you for tuning in to the program. Boy, 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 what a day. What a day, what a day. Well, as I mentioned, my name is Abraham Hamilton III. I'm the host of this program, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated but never duplicated, the real J Mac, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program. I guess I should tell you, both Mr. Rosa and myself, we both have Puerto Rican wives. Do with that what you may, what you will. Oh my goodness, crazy town, crazy town. Nevertheless, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I pray for our nation. I pray for you, and I pray that you all who are tuning into the program, you are joining me in this time of fasting for our nation. Not that the Lord would do something outside of us, but that he would move us where he would have us to be, and that we would have a vision and a willingness to respond to the vision God gives us for what happens in our nation after November 5th. What's going to happen after that? It's vitally, vitally, vitally important. At this very moment, many of you are making your transition from your part-time jobs, where you generate an income, to your full-time jobs, where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you to do so with intentionality. We have to understand, we as a nation have not gotten to where we are today overnight. The church in our nation hasn't gotten to where she is overnight. The book of Proverbs describes sin growing as one man travels, as a man travels one foot before the other. The only way forward for our nation, and when I say forward, I'm not talking about some Marxist wink and nod. I'm talking about the only way to grow, you know. And I know Mr. Trump's slogan is make America great again. The only way to make America great is for America to repent. I'm just telling you straight up. We're in a precarious place in our nation's history, at a critical juncture in our nation's history. And it's vitally important. And I'm going to share a bit from the scripture just by way of reminder, just how important the church is to God. You know, I've heard, just as many of you have heard, you know, people, you know, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious, you know, I organized religion, you know, all those kind of things and tropes, while various godless iterations ascribe the moniker of religious zealotry and devotion, you know. And the reason why we see that is because God has hardwired imago Dei, image bearers, for worship. God has made humankind for worship. Worship of the true and living God, as the scripture says, is comely for the upright. But when we have a populace of image bearers who are not upright, they will worship, they just won't worship the true and living God. and that is where we are. To the Word of God we go. Ephesians chapter 3 is where I want to share. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 12 is where I'm going to begin. And a lot of what has transpired are things that are gospel imperatives, but for many, in many ways, in many reasons, because of the church's either neglect of these matters or fecklessness concerning them, they have devolved to being discussed merely as political talking points or policy notions. Like, for example, life is not a political issue. You know, the sacredness, the sanctity of human life, it's not a political issue. It's not. It's not. But many do not have a biblical worldview concerning life. And so the concept that is sacred has devolved to mere political discourse. Ephesians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the believers in Ephesus. And this is what the Word of God says, starting at verse 8. I'm going to go from verse 8 to verse 12. To me, the very least of all saints, the grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Throughout Scripture, God describes his body, his bride, with these metaphors: his bride, his body, the household of faith, the family of God. I've explained when believers refer to one another as brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, it's not just a churchified greeting. It is an expression of a theological reality that God superintended himself. This is not something people came up with. This is what God superintended. That when we submit ourselves and embrace the grace of God in the free gift of salvation, we become family members. That's why in the same epistle, the Spirit of God communicates through the Apostle Paul that the believer is to give all diligence to maintaining the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, not creating the unity, because Jesus is the one who created that unity. Now, as members of his family, we have the express prerogative and privilege to maintain, to preserve what God has done for us horizontally. Here, the Lord explains that the manifold wisdom of God, the Greek word there is polypoikilos, the multifaceted, multi-layered, variegated wisdom of God would be publicized, made evident, put on display through his ecclesia, through his church. This is why there is a concerted effort to mar the witness of the church in the world, because God has ordained for the church to be the vehicle through which he makes his appeal to mankind. Now, when I say church, we have to kind of get out of this idea of thinking church building, because a church is not a building. A church is people, all right? The expression, the called out ones, refers to the people. If we were in a place where we had no physical structure, but we were the saints of God who met at the magnolia tree, we would be the church of God meeting under the magnolia tree, all right? The foundational building block, if you will, because Christ is the cornerstone, The first human institution that God ordained is the family. It is within the familial context that God established as the primary means by which the gospel is cascaded generationally. What I mean by that is as the Lord redeems an individual man, he redeems an individual woman. Christ followers join themselves in holy matrimony. We used to understand what those words meant. And holy matrimony provided the context for subsequent generations to be produced biologically with the anticipation, expectation of them likewise reproducing spiritually. And it's within that backdrop that the Lord gives us commands like, fathers, do not exasperate your children, rather rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as I am speaking, you can tick off how, piece by piece, the spirit of the age, the culture, Satan himself is using emissaries to take aim at each level of this development. Attack image bearers to where there is confusion as to who they are and identity. Have this confusion metastasize to such a degree to where they give themselves to physical lust and pursuits that completely eliminates their capacity to reproduce biologically. Attack the family. Who says a family consists of a man who commits himself in holy matrimony to a woman? Who a husband who loves his wife and gives himself for her as Christ does for the church? Wives who submit themselves to their own husbands as unto the Lord. Not some generalized female submission to masculinity. It is a covenantal, contextual submission that is anchored in holy matrimony, covenant relationship of commitment. And within that context, they bear fruit. But at every stage of it, attack the individual. Mar their minds, obscure their capacity to recognize that they are made in God's image. Attack the marital union. Who says marriage is this? No, you can marry your toaster. It can be one and a dog. It could be three. It could be five. You know, I mean, who says? Attack the family's wherewithal to disciple their offspring. No, cede them to the government. Let the world reproduce them after his own kind. When the Lord gives us things in the scripture, every student, when fully trained, Luke chapter 6, verse 40, every student, when fully trained, guess what? They will be like their teachers. Look at our society. What do the formerly young people who are now adults look like? They look like their teachers. At every level, there has been a full-on attack. And the unfortunate reality is that too many professing believers have been completely unaware that the war has already started. As I've been praying and fasting, I'm asking the Lord to open our eyes. So many of our brothers, I shared with you the statistics a week or so ago, the decimation of the family, where we're now at a place in our nation where the majority of people are growing in homes where either one of the parents are no longer in the home. Most often it's the father is no longer in the home. God knows the outsized impact and imprint fathers are supposed to have on the development of children, whether they are sons or daughters. God designed it that way. And so we have a bunch of people that are developing with no concept of what the original design is supposed to be. One of the major things that has to happen after November 6th is that men arise in our nation to be the prophets and priests and protectors and providers of for our families in our homes. And that we rediscover the blessing of embracing God's design. And it becomes something that everybody recognizes we need, regardless of our stations in life. And that we repent our way out of this quagmire that we're in nationally. By God's grace is our greatest need.
Election Night Coverage 2024.
Starting at 6 o'clock Central Time on Election Night. The polls, of course, on the eastern side of the country, 7 o'clock there, will be closing in several key states like Pennsylvania, like Michigan, North Carolina. So we'll be looking at those right off the bat on Election Night.
It's Election Night Coverage 2024 on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Man, this has been my cry. We're in a desperate state, desperate condition in our nation. But it ain't over until the Lord says it's over. And I see evidence of God at work all around. And I'm encouraged. I'm sobered and encouraged at the same time. Foolishness. Here we go. So some of you, I'm pretty sure you guys have heard about this at this juncture. On Sunday, President Trump had a rally at Madison Square Garden in New York City. You know, I know the New Yorkers appreciate it, and President Trump is making a plea for New York. You know, I question the political solidity of that calculation, you know. But also, I'm the one who's been saying there should be no predetermined off-limit places. You know, if you want to win places, go in there and compete. Go in there and make your appeal. Attempt to persuade the people to embrace your perspective in this constitutional Republican nation that we have with democratic features. Compete. I think it's more effective, frankly, to make those appeals. Let's say, for example, if you're Republicans, go and compete in Democrat strongholds. Make your appeals. You know, Democrats surely don't have any problem. Hey, we're going to turn Texas red. You know, so I appreciate that. You know, I'm just saying during an election cycle, I don't know how wise that is. Nevertheless, it was a huge rally, huge turnout. You know, lots of people. I think sold out the whole Madison Square Garden. That's where the New York Knicks play. You know, it's not a stadium like a football stadium, but it's 19,000 seat arena. Packed out. But the entire rally was pretty much boiled down to one thing, and I'm going to play it for you. This one comedian, his name is Tony Hinchcliffe. You know, he's known as a roast comedian, you know, where, you know, in New Orleans we call it a ribbon. You know, other places call it the Joneses. Well, you talk trash and you crack on people. That's what they do. That's right. I'm sorry, Bob. You got it right. The Democrats trying to turn Texas blue. That's right. Yeah, I said turn Texas red. Y'all knew what I meant. But that's what I meant. I didn't say it properly. So this comedian, Tony Hinchcliffe, was someone, I don't know if President Trump invited him personally. I don't think he did, but I don't know if he did or he didn't. They invited him knowing this is what he does. He roasts people. Primarily, he's known popularly for the roasting Tom Brady. A lot of people saw that. Watch Netflix. I don't have Netflix, so I didn't see it. But a lot of people, was one of the most watched, if not the most watched things on Netflix of the year, when, man, he was just roasting Tom Brady. And I saw clips where he's going at Kevin Hart, everybody. You know, he's cracking on Kevin Hart. For being so short and talking about his ancestors picking cotton, saying he's too short to pick cotton. He had to use a lift, you know, so he was roasting people and being intentionally provocative and controversial. He talked about Tom Brady and his wife divorce. I mean, this is what he does. I again question the wisdom of having him the week before the election on the platform. Nevertheless, this is what he does. But in the course of him doing what he does, he cracked a joke. Again, the comedian cracking a joke. And this is what the entire New York City rally was reduced to in our unaffectionate propagandist outfit called the American Pravda, Goebbels Inc. Here's hit literally the joke. Let me see. How long is it? 11 seconds. It's 11 seconds. This is what Tony Hinchcliffe said that sent Goebbels Inc. into conniptions. It's clip number two. Go.
There's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Tony Hinchcliffe is a comedian and podcaster.
That was the joke. That was it. That was it. Oh, man. All you heard from Sunday until yesterday, and I'm going to tell you why you stopped hearing about it a lot yesterday, is, oh, Trump is racist. He's offensive. He's the Nazi. He's this. Tim Walz called the rally. It's a Nazi rally. I mean, just going, I was like, wow. I get it. Well, no, let me tell you what I know. I don't get their reaction. What I get is, probably shouldn't have done that. You have lots of Puerto Ricans in New York. Lots of them were at the rally. But more than that, you know how this media is going to try to use anything possible. Because let's just be clear. People don't like to talk about it. The legacy media in America is the Democratic public relations outfit. That's what it is. It is the Democrat Party's outreach mechanism to the American populace. I mean, and I've said this before. This is why things like calling President Trump Hitler and all these other things, man, I am so immune to that. You don't want to know why? Just in my lifetime. I won't even go beyond my lifetime. Just in my lifetime, I remember the thing that that I began speaking out about public policy matters was marriage back when George W. Bush was running for president. I remember, man, they called George W. Bush everything but a child of God. Then when he gets out of office, again, serve pro, whoosh, like it never even happened. They love George W. Bush. I mean,
weapons of mass destruction, George W. Bush, rah, rah, rah,
now. Oh, we love George W. Bush. Love George W. Bush. I saw the same thing with John McCain. I wasn't a fan. When he was running against Barack Obama, this man was Satan to the American Pravda. Then, when he's no longer running for president, oh, we love McCain, hugs. Mitt Romney, remember that binder's full of him? Mitt Romney is a misogynist. He hates women. He wants... And then Harry Reid was confronted and said, Harry Reid, you know this man that had binders full of women. You know what Harry Reid's response was? He ain't win the presidency, did he? So this happens over and over and over again. And I witnessed in my own lifetime, I know how these people love President Trump. Up until he beat She Who Shall Never Be President. I know it. I remember all of the rap songs. Going up like Trump. I remember all of that. So now all of a sudden. So I'm just like, okay. Bad move having a dude on the stage. The joke wasn't a good joke. Okay. President Trump didn't say it. And so the media was going overtime. And then, though, just yesterday, Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden made an appearance, ladies and gentlemen. And he had something to say, which I was like, this is amazing to me to witness this happen. Mr. Biden has something to say about garbage. That was a bit more expansive. Listen to and watch clip number one. Go.
Or Puerto Rico, where I'm in my home state of Delaware, they're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization is seen as unconscionable, and it's un-American.
Oh, word? So the comedian made a joke about Puerto Rico. Poor taste, bad joke. Thought he probably, shouldn't have done it. Joe Biden comes out and says, the only garbage I see is all of President Trump's supporters. The most recent election we know, there was 74 million Americans. And this is the thing, on a dime, I mean, you're talking about a pirouette, it looked like a ballerina, you know, coming out of Alvin Ailey's dance studio on a moment's notice, on a dime, this same media pirouetted.
Oh, Mr. Biden didn't mean that all Trump supporters are garbage. He didn't mean that. Garbage doesn't really mean garbage. And I was like, wait a minute. Y'all the same people that was the day before talking about,
oh, Mr. Trump can't be president. He is.
And then you start putting it together. It's like, wait a minute. Now, I remember Barry Hussein, you know, formerly Barry Sotoro. They want us to forget that, but you know, I ain't gonna forget that. Oh, Sotoro Hussein Obama, them is a bitter clingers to their guns and their religion. Remember that? And then you had she who shall never be president. And there's a basket of deplorables, an irredeemable basket of deplorables. Remember that? Tim Walz calling people at the rally. Everybody went to the Trump rally in Madison Square Garden, Nazis. And then you have Joe Biden who just say, hey, you thought that was some whole my ice cream. Only garbage I see floating around is his supporters. And the thing I'm looking at is like, so one dude is a roast comedian, and then you know that's what he does. And then you have... Would anyone like to posit that Mr. Biden was joking? you should see the crawfish, boy. I saw one dude who she was on CNN trying to say, what Mr. Biden meant, he wasn't talking about the supporters' ERS. He said the supporters had garbage. The supporters, apostrophe S. It was clear from listening to him, you could hear the apostrophe. I'm sorry. Now, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Bobby, have you ever heard an apostrophe? Jeff, what does an apostrophe sound like? Can you give me an example of what an apostrophe sounds like? And it just, I just can't take these people seriously. And here's my point. You shouldn't take them seriously either. These propagandists are ridiculous, man. You know, when I made a caption, I said, so on one day, garbage is garbage. Then another day, garbage is not garbage. It's not garbage. So, and it's just so blatantly obvious. And my heart breaks really for people who consume this legacy media, and especially consuming in sound bites, because the purveyors of this smut, they know that. That's why they keep doing these things over and over and over again. They know it over and over and over again. But the apologist explaining that, oh, no, he didn't really mean that. I was like, wow. So I just thought that was, so Sunday to Tuesday, garbage was garbage, but starting on Wednesday, garbage isn't garbage. Got it. Mm-hmm. It's just a silly time, man. Because you know what I want to have a conversation about more than who is calling who garbage? Can we talk policy? Can we? Because we have one person who's campaigning and saying that, you know, I want people to be able to kill unborn children for the entire gestational period. No limits. Y'all know my stance. There's nothing magic about weeks. Image bearers of God are image bearers of God. People use the extreme, the exception, to justify the rule. When we're literally as a society using murder as birth control, that's unconscionable. That's unconscionable. You want to have a conversation? Let's talk about the current administration. Literally, we were talking earlier this week, Monday, about this Dr. Johanna Olson Kennedy having data that shows puberty blockers do not help dysphoric children. Studies show over and over and over again, children that are wrestling with identity ideation, leave them alone, they grow out of it normally. This woman has data that shows these puberty blockers don't work, and she sits on the study. Since 2017. Not a word.
the state of Tennessee passes a law to protect their children, when we know the science supports that, to protect their children from being mutilated genitally and chemically castrated, the Biden administration intervenes, the Harris Biden administration intervenes to tell the state of Tennessee and every other state, by the way, because there are 23 other states that have passed laws to do the same thing. They intervene and say, you can't do that. Let's talk about that. That's not a joke. That's not a joke. This ain't even your business. The state is trying to protect its citizens, yet you're so committed to this radical, insane agenda that you are going to impose your will as a federal government to try to prevent states from protecting their minor citizens. Explain that one. Explain that one. Let's talk about the economy. You want to talk about that? Let's talk about inflation, where literally you people have such antipathy for the American people. You know families are hurting from runaway inflation. You know they're hurting. Your unpopular green zealotry agenda wasn't able to be passed legislatively, but you capitalized on the people's pain and passed from your own mouths. Passed this Green New Deal under the guise, the banner of inflation reduction. You want to talk about disdain for the American people? Man, that's wicked. You want to take the American people's pain to say, who cares about your agenda? We're going to advance our agenda. Both of them admitted it. Biden said, man, we should have just named it what it was. Kamala Harris said, this is evidence of my commitment that my values haven't changed. We use the Inflation Reduction Act to set up all these Green New Deal benchmarks. That bothers me a whole lot more than a joke. That's evil. We can go down the line. Immigration, anyone? Foreign policy, anyone? Taxation, free speech, the free exercise of religion, anyone? This is crazy town that we're in, and we've gotten here. There's only one way forward, man.
Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Galatians 5, 24 through 25.
American Family Radio.
Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. You want to talk substance? I mentioned foreign policy. Anybody remember the Abraham Accords? Here we are standing at the precipice of World War III. Yet when Mr. Trump was in office, what people never dreamed could happen, the United States, first and foremost, moves our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, acknowledging it as the enduring capital for Israel. The world said it couldn't be done. All kinds of things are going to happen. Not a peep. And then he not only moves the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, then he moves forward getting Arab nations to agree and assent to Israel's right to exist as a nation. The United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, Morocco, Sudan, moving Saudi Arabia to formally acknowledge. But they don't want to have a conversation about substance. Instead, the Harris-Biden administration, rejoins the JCPOA, sends billions of dollars to Iran, and oh, it just so happens to coincidentally be followed by Hamas attacking Israel directly. On every policy front, domestically, internationally. But you don't want to have a conversation about that. They don't want to have a conversation about, this is why they don't want to have substantive conversations. This is why when you have real serious questions asked, the response is, well, I grew up in a middle-class family. You're campaigning on turning the page, or what will you do differently from the Biden administration? Nothing comes to mind. Nothing comes to mind. That's not a red flag. That's not a pause for you. You're saying that we need to change, we need to turn the page, we need something new, yet you're in office now, which the obvious question to anybody who's paying attention, that all the stuff you say you want to do, why you ain't doing it? Why aren't you doing it now? And then not only that, okay, let's even avoid what you want, what you haven't done. You're saying we need to make changes going forward. What would you do differently than what has been done? Nothing comes to mind. Nothing. Well, obviously, I'm not Joe Biden. Okay. The same Joe Biden you said was perfectly fine. Fit as a fiddle. Ready to run. Do you regret that? No, I don't regret it. Then why are you running? I'm sorry. It's stupid town. I'm sorry. I cannot abide this. I cannot abide it. And this is where we are. It's the hostility towards Israel from the Harris-Biden administration that emboldened Iran and its proxies. Iran and its proxies think they're in a strong position because they expect the Harris-Biden administration to kind of lean on Israel. It's crazy town, guys. Again, another one. You want to talk about it? It's insane. I shared with you all the... Let me check my clip list. Yeah, we'll get to that. I shared with you all the fact that the state of Virginia initiated policy years ago, predating Glenn Youngkin's administration, that required Bobby's old stomping grounds to remove illegal voters from the rolls, the voting rolls. To date, under Glenn Youngkin, 1,600 people thereabout have been removed. I explained the procedure to you. The state of Virginia has procedures, including getting driver's license and things of that nature, to where applicants have the wherewithal to identify themselves as citizens or non-citizens. If they identify themselves as non-citizens or refuse to identify themselves as citizens, that information is sent to the Voter Registration Department. The Voter Registration Department contacts these people and say, hey, when you filled out X form, you didn't affirm your citizenship. Please come in and can provide proof of citizenship so that you can maintain your position on the voter rolls. More than three different communications before they're removed. Literally, that's the process in Virginia. The process begins by people identifying themselves as non-citizens. The state of Virginia, following its laws, said, we're going to remove these people from the rolls. The Harris-Biden Department of Justice filed a lawsuit. Just like they intervened in Tennessee, they intervened in Virginia, saying that, oh, no, you can't do this. It is too close to an election to do so. And they say within 90 days, but they didn't filed the lawsuit 90 days prior to the election. They waited until 30 days. I wonder why they waited so long, Mr. Rosa. Expecting to have a favorable disposition from a federal district court in Virginia, the federal district court ruled that Governor Glenn Youngkin was illegally removing people from the rolls. Not to be deterred, Glenn Youngkin and the Attorney General of Virginia, Jason Miyares, filed an emergency appeal to the United States Supreme Court. And guess what had happened today? I know y'all want to know what happened today. The United States Supreme Court today ruled 6-3 that the federal district court's ruling has to be stayed and the state of Virginia can continue their process of removing illegal voters from their rolls until the issue can be further addressed at the appellate court. Well, that certainly put a big wrench in the Harris-Biden administration's plan. Because you tell me, what is the opposite? What are they communicating to the American people? If the state of Virginia said, we are removing non-citizens from the voter rolls. The Harris-Biden administration said, you can't do that. We want those non-citizens to stay on the voter rolls. And combine that with, there's a vote in Congress to pass a bill to keep illegal aliens from voting, and Democrats in Congress voted against it. What are they telling the American people? Oh, I know it's already illegal for illegal aliens to vote in federal court, right? If it's already illegal, why do we have people on two different fronts fighting for the right for illegal people to participate in federal elections? Y'all help me understand. So today, 6-3, the Supreme Court ruled that the district court judge needs to back, give me 50 feet. Virginia can do what Virginia is doing. And it's not going to they're not going to have time before the election, November 5th, next Tuesday, to have this. This is just, I cannot believe that these are the things that we're debating. These are the things that we're debating. You are literally fighting for illegal aliens to vote. Remember the process I just explained? This is why you have to read this stuff and get into the policies and not just listen to the media. Because what the media wants you to hear, they said, some of these people might have become citizens and you're trying to keep them from the voter rolls. What is the policy of Virginia? You're notified by the state. All you have to do is bring in proof of your citizenship. And guess what happens? You get the vote. That's crazy. But this is where we are. Which is why, I'm telling you guys, can't make this stuff up. I know people think I make this stuff up, but I don't. Just last week, at CNN's town hall, Kamala Harris is there. She talked about her desire concerning the U.S. Supreme Court. Listen to and watch this. This is last week, y'all. Last week. Clip number 3. Go.
That's terrible. That's what it says.
No, not that one. Not that one. Is that not number 3?
This evening. I appreciate that you did acknowledge that we are a country that is faced with problems and issues. With the Supreme Court being plagued with issues, would you be in favor of expanding the court to, say, 12, so each justice has only one circuit court other than Chief Justice to assist in making judgments more balanced?
Well, to your point, there is no question that the American people increasingly are losing confidence in the Supreme Court. And in large part because of the behavior of certain members of that court and because of certain rulings, including the Dobbs decision and taking away a precedent that had been in place for 50 years, protecting a woman's right to make decisions about her own body. So I do believe that there should be some kind of reform of the court, and we can study what that actually looks like.
Ain't that something? People are losing confidence in the court. So her answer is, let's pack it. Let's add members to the court. Now, God, this is so mind-boggling to me. Because did you hear any Democrats complaining about the court needed to be reformed before Roe was overturned? Did you remember that? No. When Democrats were imposing policy on the American people, because legislation wasn't being passed, policy is being imposed on the American people through the U.S. Supreme Court. It's not until you have a different composition of the court. Even when Roe was intact, did you ever see conservatives and Christians saying, hey, we need to change the makeup of the court? No. You never saw that. Yet, this is what always happens. Guys, this dates back to FDR. FDR, who saw himself as an American version of the European central planners, who wanted to run the entirety of the American government through a central planning system. The Supreme Court said, you can't do that, FDR. This is America. We have a separation of powers. You can't be the executive branch, the legislative branch, and the judicial branch. FDR said, man, I'm popular. I'm going to get the American people to agree to amend the Constitution so I can add more justices to the court. And then the judges blinked and began to capitulate to allow all kinds of things that the founders never intended. When this is the, I hate to say it this way, but this is just the truth. When Democrats can't win, they want to change the rules. Remember, the filibuster applied to everything until Harry Reid. Harry Reid is the one to say, you know what? We want to make sure Democrat presidential nominated judges make their way into the federal bench, so we're going to get rid of the filibuster for district courts and appellate courts. That's literally what Harry Reid did. Then Mitch McConnell says, oh, all right, well, we'll do it for the Supreme Court. No, you can't do that. Which people forget, if Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg would have simply retired during the Obama years, there wouldn't have been any opportunity for Mitch McConnell to do what he did at the end of the Obama years. But there was because of that. So then they're up in arms. And so now, because they're upset, because they want to change, same thing with Tim Walz. Oh, we lose the Electoral College? Let's get rid of Electoral College. Why not continue to compete and appeal to the American people? They don't want to do that. They want to change the rules. So here you have so Kamala Harris in this interview, she says she agrees that this woman says, let's change the judges from 9 to 12. You know what that's going to create? No room for a tie-breaking vote. And she says, so we can have more balanced rulings. Man, get out of here. Get out of here. The courts are not supposed to be doing all our legislation. No way. But you heard just last week, guys, Kamala Harris affirmed the notion. She used the term, yes, the court needs to be reformed. The term reforming the court is code for her agreeing that she believes the court should be packed. What do I mean by court packing? Increase the number of federal judges so that what they hope to be a Democrat president will be able to nominate more judges to the U.S. Supreme Court to change the makeup of the court ideologically. That's miss me with all the consternation over jokes. Let's talk about these policy things. Do you want somebody in the Oval Office who wants to pack the court or not? Do you want somebody who's going to uphold free speech? You do know Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they believe free speech should be curtailed. Barack Obama's former Secretary of State, John Kerry, said that our First Amendment prohibits the government from being able to hammer out opinions that they don't like. Do you want free speech or not? Do you want the free capacity to exercise our religion? Do you want Jack Phillips to be able to conduct his business consistent with his confidence and his faith in God? Do you want somebody in the Oval Office who will advocate for the Abraham Accords or who will fund the number one state sponsor of terror in Iran? Do you want somebody who's going to support Israel or oppose Israel? Do you want somebody who wants unfettered capacity to tear an unborn child limb from limb for the entire gestational period? You want somebody who wants sex changes for inmates paid for with taxpayer dollars? Guys, these are the things that are substantive, that are worth consideration and dialogue.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.